pray and let's get right into this word. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity, Father God, just to be here today. We thank you, Father God, for your presence. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus, God. We just plead the blood of Jesus over this service, over this day, over every heart, over every person. We thank you for the ones that are here. We thank you for the ones that could not be here this morning. We just pray healing over their bodies, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for you just, you're with them, you're helping them, and we just honor you, Father. We just give you all the glory and the praise. And Father, I thank you for your anointing upon these lips of clay. Help me to speak your word uncompromised, unhindered by any outside force, but it would land on each and every heart, custom fit as you have designed it for them, Father. We thank you, Father, for your presence in this place, God. And we just say our hearts are open, our minds are open, ready to receive all that you have for us, Father God. Help our minds to be renewed today by the power of your word. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. And we just are ready to go in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you what, we've been talking about the blood of Jesus. And I tell you what, there is nothing more awesome than that, right? It's all, everything that we have in Christ is all because of the blood of Jesus. And I want to talk to you today about being in Christ. You keep hearing, we hear this phrase about in Christ. You know, it says in Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And so there's many, many scriptures that I could have brought to talk about being in Christ, but I'm gonna give you a couple of illustrations, and we are gonna look at some. But it is such a powerful thing to be in Christ. And I think by the time we're done today, you're gonna be as excited as I am, perhaps. But anyway, I'm really excited about it. Turn with me in your word, if you would, in the Bible to Romans chapter 3. This is kind of the verse that we've been kind of springing off of. It's like jumping into a pool. How many know it's a lot, to me, at least for me, it's a lot more exciting to jump off of a springboard than it is just to jump off the edge, right? But then again, how many, some of you in here are old enough to remember the Nestle plunge commercials, right? You just stand on the edge of the pool and they just kind of fall back into this. And that's what we want to do with Jesus. We just want to fall right back into his arms, Lord, right? And man, I almost felt like I was praying. I just want to fall back into your arms, Lord. Come on. But anyway, God is good and I'm excited about this. But in Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, I'm just going to read the first portion of this verse, but it says, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for our sin. People are made right with God when they believe. How many know that's good? How many are glad you don't have to do a whole bunch of crazy things to get your salvation? That it's not because of our works, but it's all because of the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. God says, you know, everything they do and everything they try combined is not good enough. Jesus, would you go? And Jesus, I think Jesus' hand was already going up before God even asked the question. I think Jesus was like, God, I already know what you're thinking. I'm ready to go. I know what I'm going to have to face, but I'm ready to go. And the Bible says he laid aside all of his godness, all of his deity, right? All of his, the part that made him so God. He was God, but he didn't function in the earth as God. Right? He said, I'm going to lay all that aside and I'm going to go down. I'm going to be born into the form of a human. I'm going to be born into this earth like a baby. I'm going to come in the way you're supposed to come into the earth, right? Right? You know, the Bible tells us over in John chapter 10, if a thief comes in any other way but the door, he is a thief and a robber. How many know Satan didn't come in through the door? I mean, there's only one door into the humanity, and it's through the birth into as a child, right? So Jesus come in through the door, and then he goes down in John 10:10, and it's this amazing verse that's so popular, it seems. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life and life more abundantly. Do you know the Bible says over in Leviticus, it says the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. But here's what happened. God looked at us and he goes, their blood's tainted. It's not good enough. They're not going to be able to experience my life with the blood that's flowing through them. So I gotta have another plan. And Jesus is like, I'll go and give my blood. I'll allow my blood to be shed on their behalf. And they can come into relationship with us. They can be in me, Father. They can be in me. And then life will be good for them. Amen. And that's exactly what Jesus did. I want to share this story with you. Well, did I finish reading what I was going to read? I don't know. I'm just having a good time preaching right now. Okay. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they simply believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. And you know, we're calling this, on this series, we're calling faith in the blood, putting our faith in the blood, not in our works, not in the good things we do. You know, there are religions out there that believe that you think good things happen because you do good things to people and you're saved by all the many good things you do. But that's not what the Bible says, is it? The Bible says they were saved because Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So what do? We put our faith in the blood of Jesus. I don't have to get up every morning and think about what I did yesterday, the mistakes I made, or the good things that I do. I say, Jesus, I'm not unrighteous because of the bad things I did, and I'm not righteous because of the good things I did. I am righteous because your blood has washed me clean. Amen. You know what that does to me? I'm able to look in the mirror no matter what I've done and to smile and relax and be at peace and be at ease knowing that I am saved because of the precious blood of Jesus. So we're talking about putting our faith in his blood. Amen. I want to share this story. There was a few years ago, there was a minister. He had a granddaughter had someone in his church, and this little girl, she had come down with, I can't remember the name of the disease. Anyway, it was attacking her bone marrow, right? And so she needed a bone marrow transplant. Well, they searched far and wide, you know, locally. I mean, they were looking all over the country. Finally, the day came that they found a matching donor. They found a donor that could donate this bone marrow, and this was going to help this little girl. And so they finally got it all done, and so then they began the process. And as they go through the process of bone marrow, first thing they have to do in a bone marrow transplant is they have to kill off all the old blood. Because what bone marrow does, bone marrow, it's the blood cells in the bone marrow that produces the blood. It produces the good blood that runs through your system. Well, the production center was what was fouled up, and it was producing bad blood. And so this little girl's dying from this disease. But they found a blood donor, and then so the blood donor, they get to all this going, they get in there, they kill off her old blood, and they begin to pump in this new blood from the donor into the bone marrow, and then the bone marrow begins to produce all this good blood from the blood donor. I don't know if you see where I'm going, but I'm telling you what happened, and this girl was healed. I mean, that disease was gone. They got rid of all of the bad blood, brought in this new blood, put this new blood into the bone marrow. These blood cells began to pump out and produce as a production center this new blood, and this new blood began to go through her body. It made her completely healed, but that's not all it did. Some of the results was remarkable because it began to change her hair color. It began to change her skin. It began to change her eye color. Why? What is it doing? It was all about the hair, the skin, the eyes was changed to match that of the donor. Now, that's a true story. I did some research this week. I was like, I got to check into this. So I began to look at all the, I'm not going to come and bore you with all the medical stuff about it, but I read for like an hour or two about all this kind of stuff and how this happens. And it's just crazy, you know, but here's the problem. Sometimes when you get just a transplant, a blood transplant, right, it works for just part of the body. So you can get one type of blood from one part of the body of the bone marrow and other different kind of blood from the other part. But when you get it into the bone marrow, the Bible says the word of God is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing between the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow. So when we get the word of God into the bone marrow, it begins to change you. What does it do? It begins to change your nature. How many know this little girl? It changed her whole nature. She no longer had the same color hair. No longer had the same kind of skin that she had before. It got into and it completely changed the characteristics of her nature. I'm telling you, when you let the blood of Jesus get down into your bone marrow, it begins to change your very nature. You won't have to pray the prayer that Paul prayed. Lord, why do I do the things I don't want to do and not do the things I do want to do? Why? Because we got to allow that blood blood to get on the inside. We got to start speaking the blood. We got to be thinking the blood. We got to allow that blood to flow through our system to where it changes us down to the molecular structure. And good works can't do that. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. Isn't that powerful? I want to be changed. But did you hear what I said about that? What it changed her from what? It changed it to the blood of the donor. Jesus is the blood donor. You allow that blood. You begin to think the blood. I get up every morning, Father, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus over me. And we talked about that. That word plea is a legal term, right? It's a court term. It's a term you use in the courts. I plead. But I don't go in. I don't tell the devil, I plead, I'm innocent. I don't go, devil, I plead, Lord, I plead. Look at all the good things I've done. And the devil can't go in even though he tries. Lord, look at all the bad things they've done. All we got to do is say, yeah, but I plead the blood. And the Bible says that God looks at us through the shed blood of Jesus. He's not looking at your mistakes. That's where guilt and shame. You know, psychologists say 80% of mental issues could be healed if people would quit feeling guilty and shameful. That guilt and shame is the problem with 80% of their patients. So God says, you know what, I'm going to deal with the guilt and shame problem, and I'm going to send Jesus, and I'm going to give them some fresh blood. I'm going to do a spiritual bone marrow transplant. I'm going to give them some new blood. It's going to flow through that bone marrow in their spirit, and it's going to change them. It's going to give them a new image. How many know your eyes are different? Your skin's different. Your hair's different. Now, don't worry, it's not going to change the color of your hair. Now, some of mine's already starting to change. But it's not because of the blood of Jesus, right? It's because I'm pastoring this church. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. Are you pointing at Elijah? Elijah's my son. She thinks it's because of him. No, listen. But the blood of Jesus is so powerful. I want you to read this. Let's turn to this scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus. We couldn't be saved without it. Did you know you can't be healed without it? You can't be blessed without it? Everything that we have in Christ is because of the blood of Jesus. It's in the blood. You know, when you go to get a life insurance policy, you know, especially if it's a big one, they have you take a blood test. Because they want to know what all is in the blood. Anyway, so this one guy, he went to get this big insurance policy for his family. So they did a blood test, and then the doctor sent him out gave him a print out of all the things that was in his blood. And I mean, a lot of things, obviously it's medical terms, you can't even hardly even pronounce them. So one of the ladies in his office had, heard him talking about it. So she went and got a printout, and it was a 12-page printout of everything that was in the blood. And there's over 200 components in your blood. Some of the things, and I can't remember them all. That's a lot, you know, and I didn't write them down really. But some of the things that is in the blood, some of the things that the blood does, it builds your immunity system. Some of the things the blood does is takes all the trash out of your system. How many know if you just get enough of the blood of Jesus, it'll take all the trash right out of your life? Right? There's a lot of things the blood does, and maybe we'll talk about that sometime soon. But let's look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says this, 2 Corinthians 5. I mean, I'm not in 2 Corinthians. Oh, I'm reading out of the Amplified. That's why. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 in the Amplified. It says, therefore, if any person is engrafted. Everybody say engrafted. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ or into Christ, the Messiah, they are a new creation, a new creature altogether. I mean, that right there makes it sound like it's changing everything about you, right? New creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. It makes me think of that story about that little girl. It says, all the old is passed away. Before they go in and put in the new blood, they go in, they kill off all the old blood. So that the new blood and the old blood, but see, here's what the problem is. When people get saved, they keep struggling with their sin because they're trying to hang on to some of their old blood. Their old ways, right? Putting too much trust in the natural way of doing things instead of trusting God to heal you, trusting God to bless you, trusting God to deliver you from previous bondages and previous things that have held you in bondage, right? But he says, therefore, if any person is engrafted into Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Isn't that awesome? Let me explain to you the engrafting process. To graft something means to insert like a shoot of a plant. It means to insert into another living plant so that the two grow together as a single plant. So what God's saying, he says, I am grafting you in to Jesus. I'm grafting you into Jesus. And now you're not growing individually away from Christ. You are growing up together as a single plant with Christ. He says, I want to graft you in. I want to graft you in. My blood will graft you in. And you will grow up together. You see farmers and horticultural people do this all the time. You got this really cool plant over here, and you got this really cool plant over here, and they decide, hey, it'd be kind of neat to see those things mixed. So then they plant the seeds together, and they graft them in together, and one shoot of a plant is grafted into the shoot of a living plant, and then they grow up as one, and it takes on a whole new look. See, if you're tired of the way your life has been going, get grafted into Christ. Because when you get grafted into Christ, you will take on a whole new look. Therefore, if anyone be grafted in to Christ, they are a new creation altogether. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't that powerful? I love that, being grafted in to Jesus. In Romans chapter 11, just a page or two over from where we were, from the verse anyway. Romans chapter 11 and verse 17, it says this. He says, but some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you Gentiles, do you realize that, you know, back then, there were groups that felt only the people of Israel could be saved. In fact, Peter had some people coming to visit him. He didn't know it, but right before lunch, the Bible says the Holy Spirit told him to go up and pray. So he went up on the roof and he began to pray, and the Lord began to give him this vision about all these different things that he was being brought down for him to eat. And he said, Lord, I can't eat that. It's not clean. And he says, Peter, don't call unclean what I have called clean. He says, now that you know that, now I want you to go down because there's some people here to see you. And they go down there, and it was some Gentile people. And if God had not spoken of that to him, he would have rejected them because they were Gentiles. They were not Israelites. They were not Jewish. Right? But what God's saying is, I'm grafting them in. That's what he was showing Peter. I'm grafting them in. Salvation is for the Gentiles just like it is for the Jews. Right? So I don't have to be born in Israel and have an Israeli bloodline to be grafted into Christ. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. We can be grafted into the vine. I love that. But he goes on to say, but some of the branches of Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. So, what does that mean? So now you also receive the blessing God had promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. Hallelujah. We've been grafted in. We've been grafted in. Glory to God. Grafted in to Christ. But see, you gotta quit fighting that grafting process. Can you imagine? The farmer goes, okay, I want to graft these in together. And he grabs the shoot of this one. He tries to, you know, graft it into this shoot of a living tree or living plant. And the first shoot goes, hey, wait, whoa. I still got some things I want to do over here. I got my own ideas. I got my own plans. I got my own ways of doing things. I don't really want to have to do it that way. I want to be distracted by everything else. I want to be distracted by my phone. I want to be distracted by my games. I want to be distracted by these people. I want to be distracted by all this kind of stuff. I'm going to look at the way the world's doing it. No, the Bible says we got to push all that stuff to the side and say, I want to be grafted into Christ. That is the most important thing in my life. Oh, wow. Praise God. I love that. Being grafted in. Said he grafted them in, even though they weren't, truly of the lineage of Abraham. He says, I'm going to graft you in. And because I'm grafting you in, I'm going to produce in you all the blessings that God has for you in your life. Amen. I want to share this story with you, and then I'm going to wrap it up. I was reading an article last week, and I read it again today. There's a story that was it happened in Houston back in about 2015. And there was this 87-year-old man. He was out there, and he was changing his tire on his truck. He's an old rancher, right? And he's out there, and he's changing the tire, and all of a sudden, the jack collapsed. Well, he had you know, sleeves on, and he had the thick, heavy work glove, and he's out there working. And the jack collapsed, and when it did, it pinned his hand between the block and the fender of the truck. Well, it was 100-something degrees outside, and so that metal was hot, and the heat went through the glove, through his skin, down into the nerves of his hand, and completely burnt his hand. Well, it was probably about an hour before somebody even found him pinned there. Anyway, so I mean, his hand was just like fried like an egg. And so they went in, they tried different things. They tried different procedures to try to save his hand, and he ended up losing one of his pinkies, I think. But he was about to lose the rest of his hand. And all of a sudden, one of the doctors said, I've got this idea. I've heard it done before. I've never done it, but I think it'll work. And so he says, so what we're going to do, and so the daughter had a hard time explaining to her 87-year-old father this process. He's like, you're going to do what? So what the doctor wanted to do is he wanted to create like a hoodie pocket in his stomach. And so they made this incision, and they took his hand and shoved it under the skin into his stomach and sealed it back up. Am I grossing anybody out yet? So he said it felt kind of weird having his hand sewn into his stomach. 3 weeks later, they took his hand back out, and fresh new skin had formed and developed on his hand. What did they do? They grafted his hand into a place of fresh blood. And because of that, they pulled it out, and his hand was like he had never even been burnt. Because fresh blood regenerates. That's why you see with people, they have strokes or whatever, and they, some people, they don't get good circulation in their blood. Their limbs begin to die because there's no good blood circulation, right? But they took his hand and they put it in. Listen to this. The doctor said that his hand, before they did it, his hand was almost completely dead. They thought they were going to have to take the whole thing off. But they stuck it in. They made an incision, put it in his stomach, and sewed it in there for 3 weeks. 3 weeks later, they pulled it out. New hand. I'm telling you, if you allow yourself to be grafted into Christ, if you will allow yourself to be submerged into the blood of Christ, it will change your life. It changed that little girl's life. It saved her life. Gave her a completely new nature. We cannot just say, well, I want you, Jesus, but I don't want to let go of the things of the world. No, I tell you what, when it's talking about saving my life, you can have all that. What did that elderly gentleman say? The grandfather, he says, hey, whatever it takes to help me, whatever it takes to save my hand, I'm willing to do. So my question for you today, are you willing to do whatever it takes to save your life? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to bring peace into your life, peace into your heart? Come on. It's not about ourselves, is it? It's not about being selfish. It's not about, I want what I want. I don't want, it's not about being unforgiving. It's not about any of these kind of things. It's about Jesus. I want to be like you. So Lord, I just ask you to graft me in. Graft me in to your blood. I receive, I put my faith in the blood of Jesus. I put my faith in the blood of Jesus. So man, I walk around all the time. I'm just like, Father, I just plead the blood. Something comes up, I plead the blood of Jesus over that. Oh, I plead the blood of Jesus over that. I plead the blood. I prayed for my wife the other day. I plead the blood over her. I pray for my son. I plead the blood. I pray for this church. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person. No matter what you're going through, that's the way I pray over you. You know, the Bible says, it tells us how we do that, right? Over in Matthew chapter 6, it says, take no thought saying. How do we take negative thoughts? By starting to repeat them. How do you take positive thoughts? By starting to repeat them. The psalmist David, he said that there are things that I believe, therefore believing, I also speak. Right? There's more to faith than just thinking. There is a speaking faith. Right? Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God said, let there be. God did what? God said. But before he said, the Bible says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. But it wasn't until God spoke that he moved and caused things to happen. So what am I doing? I'm speaking, man. I'm using my faith and I'm saying, I plead the blood of Jesus over my wife's body. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over my church. I plead the blood of Jesus over that situation. I'm releasing my faith in the blood of Jesus. I trust that the blood of Jesus, the Bible says that there is healing in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that there is provision in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says there is everything that we need in the blood of Jesus. And as that doctor's report printed out all those ingredients in the blood, it showed all these things. Everything that our body needs to be healthy and strong is in the blood. And I'm telling you, everything you need for life to be good for you. You know, the Bible says that God has given us all things. The Bible says he has given us the ability by his divine nature. I think it's 1 or 2 Peter. It says, by his divine nature, he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's all in the blood. It's all in the blood. So what am I doing? And what are you doing? We're putting our faith in the blood of Jesus. I don't have to be concerned about my past mistakes. I don't look at the good things that I've done or the bad things I've done. I look at the fact that I am saved by the blood of Jesus. I look at the fact that I am healed by the blood of Jesus. My provision is there because of the blood of Jesus. My happiness is there because of the blood of Jesus. I am at peace because of the blood of Jesus. I have joy because of the blood of Jesus. Everything that I need, it's all in the blood. So what am I going to do? I'm going to get grafted in. I'm going to get me some new blood flowing through me, and I'm going to continue to declare the blood of Jesus over my life. Amen. Did you guys get anything out of that? Come on. Come on. Let's get grafted in. Come on. Let's plead the blood of Jesus. The devil's always standing before the throne of God, constantly accusing us. The Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren. But Jesus, your attorney, is sitting right there at the right hand of God. Oh, by the way, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that when he died, you died. When he was raised up, you were raised up together with him and seated together with him at the right hand of God in heavenly places. So you're sitting right there and Jesus is going, nope, Father, they're under the blood. Nope, remember my blood, they're under the blood. All right? So I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. Amen? Well, that's all I got. Come on up, Brent.